Vishnu Sahasranama. Name 74, Madhusudana. The previous name was Madhava, which is one of the very best known and favorite names of Vishnu. Madhusudana is also a well-known name. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna several times addresses Krishna as Madhusudana, which means the killer of the demon called Madhu. Now, of course, Krishna, Vishnu, killed many demons. So why Madhu in particular? Actually, Madhu and Kaitav, the two brothers, demons, both demons, who were slain by the Lord. So why them in particular? Well, they were around at the beginning. They were the first demons, chronologically, to be killed. Sometimes Madhusudana is there. That name is there. Sometimes the two names are put. It becomes a long name when they're both mentioned. Bhaktivinoda Thakur has named Krishna as Madhu Kaitav Ari, which means the enemy or the killer of both Madhu and Kaitava. So Madhusudana, the incident is that while Vishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, was lying asleep, Brahma was meditating on the lotus that comes from the lotus navel of Padmanabha, Vishnu, when from the earwax of Vishnu, two demons were born. One was called Madhu, the other was Kaitava. So they performed austerities and Lakshmi blessed them as a result of their austerities, that they would be invincible. No one could kill them. So with this boon, they attacked Brahma, who even he couldn't do anything. They stole the Vedas from him. So then the Lord appeared as Hayagriva, who gives the Vedic knowledge, and he took back the Vedas. Actually before that, there's a little interlude or some more of the story that Brahma, he wanted to call Vishnu to deal with these demons, but he was asleep. So then Brahma prayed to Yoga Nidra, who's the energy of the Lord by which induces him to enjoy blissful sleep. So she woke up the Lord, who then appeared as Hayagriva. But still the demons were there. Of course, Krishna can kill whoever he likes. But as Lakshmi, his consort, had given that benediction, he didn't want to kill them. So he said to them, they were invincible. They could only die if they wanted to. So he said to them that they were so puffed up. So he used a means to take advantage of their arrogance to kill them. He said that, well, just as my wife has given you a benediction and you're so powerful, so you should also give me a benediction. So they agreed, because if you approach someone to ask for a benediction, that means you accept their superiority. So, of course, no one is superior to Vishnu, but he may do so for Some means, some trick. He did in this case. Or out of loving affection also, he approaches Vasudeva and Devaki as superiors, Yudhishthira as superior. So he asked them for the benediction that, yes, I want you to die. This I gleaned from Satyaraj Prabhu's telling of the story. But there's another version of that, they could only be killed by each other, and so they didn't kill each other. But then Vishnu, he brought into being Tilottama, which means the most beautiful imaginable woman for anyone in the material world. Of course, Lakshmi, Radha, they're far superior. But then they quarreled over her and killed each other. So there's something to learn from that also. So, who slays Madhu, the demon called Madhu? Madhu means sweet, but demons are not very sweet. Maybe in their own estimation, they're sweet. Sridhar Swami gives the meaning that Madhusudana means that by his own sweetness, he defeats the sweetness, or the honey. Madhu also means honey. He defeats the sweetness of this material world. So particularly Sridhar Swami, he has said that this here Madhu means false ego, because everyone loves themselves, but who am I in material consciousness? We identify with our false ego, with our whatever position we may have acquired under the influence of the three modes of material nature and according to our previous activities. Actually, we're completely controlled and we're placed into various situations, but out of pride we think, oh, this is me, I'm so wonderful. As if we ourselves had attained that position, but actually we're forced to accept a body under the laws of karma and the modes of material nature, but we become proud. This is me. And it seems very nice to me that I am very nice, just like we see. It's very common that people like to get in front of a mirror and comb their hair. It's common pastime. Even if their hair doesn't need combing, they like to stand in front of the mirror and go on and on and on, combing their hair. Just the look in the reflection in the mirror of their own face, however ugly it may be, appears to them to be very sweet. So this is Maya. This is the sweetness, the foolish sweetness of material life. But the sweetness of Krishna is so much more, that if one is attracted, if one's natural attraction for Krishna awakens, then what appears in this world to be sweet, one will understand that is not sweet at all, and one will be attracted to Krishna. So Krishna's sweetness defeats the false sweetness of this material world. It's like some sweet that tastes very nice, but it's injected with poison. So we should beware of that sweetness and direct our thirst for sweetness toward the lotus feet of Krishna, which are actually very sweet. And nothing in this world is sweet. Whatever sweetness is here is a perverted reflection of the actual sweetness, who is Krishna. In Vedanta, Madhu is a term that refers to the fruits of action. So Krishna also destroys the effects of that. So in that way, he's also Madhusudana. Hung tong sarva pape bhyo moksha yashami. Krishna says, I will destroy all the results of your sinful activities. So in this way also, Krishna is Madhusudana. So, shloka 9. Ishvaro vikrami dhanvi medhavi vikrama kramaha anutamo duradharsha kritagya krituratmavan. So, the first name here is Ishvara. But this name has already been given at name 36. So I'll pass on to 76. Name 76. Vikrami. And 77 is Dhanvi. Yeah, so Dhanvi Medhavi Vikramaha. So these two names, Vikrami and Vikrama, these are very similar. Vikrama means one who is very... it means the quality of vigor, courage, virility. And Vikrami means one who possesses that quality. So sometimes the quality is given as a name of the, because he possesses that quality. So, I'll go to Vikrami first. The most courageous, the most powerful is the basic meaning there. It's also in Shastra that the word Vikrami is also used for lion. So, Krishna. Krishna is called a lion. Because in this material world, a lion is very powerful, respected in his own sphere. Everyone respects the lion in the forest for being so powerful. And a lion is generally associated with nobility. There may be other powerful creatures, like rhinoceros, which is also powerful, but quite ugly, whereas a lion is a beautiful animal. And nobility also, the king, he walks in a royal manner. He knows he's the king of the jungle, that others have to get out of the way. And also he has certain habits. All others are afraid of him. And he has the characteristic that he kills, then he eats what he wants to eat, and leaves the rest. He won't store it, or he leaves it for others to take. So that's also a symptom of nobility, that he doesn't store anything. Just whatever he wants, he'll take. And there'll be a big, a whole herd of gazelle or zebras or whatever. But one lion, and they'll all be afraid. Mostly we see lions portrayed as being in Africa, but they're there in India also, just a few left. Only in Gujarat. So I don't know what animals they eat there. Maybe Nilgai or something. They like to eat big animals. So Nilgai must be there, I presume. I've never been to that area of Gujarat. You probably haven't been there either. Have you been there? Yeah. Gir, yeah. There are also cows in that area but the lions won't approach them because those cows, they fight back. And so The lions in the Gir forest, they won't attack those cows. They're so powerful cows. So the most courageous, the most powerful, Krama, as we shall hear soon, upcoming name, means a step. So someone who has very special steps, Vamanadev, his big steps, little boy with big steps. Little boy grew up very quickly and had, just like you may see a child and say, oh, he's growing up very quickly, but didn't grow up as quickly as Vamanadev. And he's going to be a big boy, but you can't imagine how big Vamanadev became. Have to get some new clothes for him. The little clothes he's wearing don't fit him anymore. So Vikrama, special, one who has special steps. Vi means Vishesha, who has special steps. No one can step like him. Again, the royal, there's a royal gait, G-A-I-T. So one who steps with nobility, aristocracy, with awareness that he is respectable, that everyone respects him. So the royalty, they step with distinction. The way they walk, Jarasandha noticed, when three brahmanas came to approach him, so they don't look like brahmanas. They look like kshatriyas, and they walk like kshatriyas. So everyone has their own walk, as Arjuna asked, "Stita pragyasya ka bhasha samadhistasya keshava stita dhi king prabhasheta kim asita vrajeta kim." So vrajeta kim means how does a self-realized person walk? Everything about him reveals his being enlightened. So Vamanadev walks in a way that is incomparable, more than any king. So Vikrami means Vamanadev. Dhanvi is the next name, means one who has a bow. So this, particularly Ramachandra Bhagavan is famous. Kodandaram, he who has the bow. So, of course, the Lord in his various forms, his most famous weapon is Sudarshan. I don't see, usually with Jagannath Subhadra Baladev, there's Sudarshan. It's hidden away, or what? Is it? Oh, I see, yeah. But usually he appears as like a stick. Painted there, yeah. Painted there. Well, that's one figure on his... I can't see. Now I can see. Yeah. Usually he appears in like a stick form. You must have seen. Never saw? Yeah. He's usually in that form with Jagannath Subhadra. Check it out. I mean, not right now, but you might. He's Sudarshan. He's a chakra, but with Jagannath Subhadra and Baladev, he stands just to the left of Jagannath. Oh,
yes, yeah. No, this is
flaw. Yeah, but sometimes, like when I was in Puri, they have there's two sticks. Jagannath will have one, and Balaram will have there's two sticks.
You went in the temple?
But, on the grand road, they have these.
Oh, I see. Yeah. Mhm. Mhm. So Sudarshan is the general. Well, he has so many weapons. But especially Ram is famous as the wielder of the bow. Rama Shastra Britamaham. In Gita, Krishna says, of wielders of weapons, I am Rama. Although one of the commentators says this refers to Parashuram. So, we could get into a big discussion here, how Rama, from the very beginning, he was killed so many demons with his bow. So that name is there also in South India, Kodandaram, Ram of the bow. Then the next name, Medhavi, one who is very intelligent. So this may refer to a human also. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Medhavi Chinna Sangshayaha, that one who is very intelligent breaks all doubts by intelligence, taking knowledge by intelligence, one becomes free from all doubts. There's so many doubts may arise. Someone says, well, what is this? There's no God. So what do you do? Oh, there's no God. Oh, I'm wasting my life. I should be joining everyone else, having fun on Oxford Street. Why am I a Hare Krishna? So then just think how Srila Prabhupada gave us intelligence to break all such doubts that may arise in the mind. That we are controlled, we are forced to die, we are forced to get old, we are forced to be diseased. So it must be a controller. Simple. You see the complexity of this world, it cannot come into being by chance. Then, but you have to believe in Jesus. There are so many problems with all of this. That Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead because he possesses all the qualities that if anyone is going to be supreme, he should be supreme in all respects. So that we find that description fits Krishna exactly. There's no one else. We say, well, still, why? But then we find all the most... We find the great acharyas, they were in philosophy and knowledge and intelligence insurpassable. Shankara, Ramanuja, Madhva, they were tremendously knowledgeable and intelligent. And also their character was such, so they're clearly not materialistic people. They're clearly inspired by a higher ideal. So practically from the guru, sadhu and shastra, we can understand that although Christians and others, they have some good idea that there is God, they don't really know who he is at all. And there are so many problems in their theology, which I won't get into here now. But I have gone into it other times, if anyone's interested. You know about that? No. You're going like this. Yeah, someone sent me a whole bunch of Christian baloney that they were getting bewildered by. So I spent a few hours debunking that, if you're interested. It's out there on the internet. I guess it's on my website. So, the intelligence, alright, there are different words for intelligence. Buddhi is the generally known term. Shankaracharya, it's been translated a little differently from the Sanskrit. He describes, Medha Bahugrantha Dharana Samathyam. Sahyasya asti samedhavi. Medha means it's been translated here as the ability to grasp several ideas on different subjects at the same time. One who has this ability naturally is called medhavi. But if we see the Sanskrit, a little more literal translation is one who is capable of understanding, grasping the concepts in many books. So one who is very expert in or has the ability to grasp the ideas in different philosophers and different philosophies. And according to the definition of Bhagavad Gita that Krishna gives, medhavi chinna sangshayaha, he should not only be able to understand the different ideas in different books, but should also be able to understand the qualities and defects in different philosophies and understand the proper conclusion and not be bewildered by all the different ideas. Just like Srila Prabhupada, he asked, first of all, Shyamasundara Prabhu, then Hayagriva Prabhu, to explain to him the, in essence, the ideas of various prominent Western philosophers. And then Srila Prabhupada would comment. Sometimes he would say, yes, that is good. Or he would say, yes, that is good, but it needs more development. And sometimes, more often than not, he would point out, this is bogus. So Srila Prabhupada, he was able to understand their ideas and take out whatever was good in them and illuminate them further and point out the faults in them. Just like with Freud, when it was stated to Srila Prabhupada that Sigmund Freud, his idea is that you have to bring out from the subconsciousness all the shocks, that the bad things that have happened to you in your past, by which one develops phobias, then one has to bring that out by discussion with the psychoanalyst, and in this way, by bringing it to the prominently out in one's consciousness, it's like cathartic, and then one is no longer subject to those hang-ups. But Srila Prabhupada said, and what is the guarantee there won't be more shocks? Material life means ashesha, klesha, nishesha. There's no end to all the problems coming one after another. So Srila Prabhupada pointed out a defect in that. A crucial defect in that. So this is especially the acharyas. They study all the different philosophies, and in this way they're able to defeat them. There are the six basic schools of philosophy, following from the Vedic philosophy, and then later there came Buddhists also, and Jains with different philosophies. So the acharya should know all these philosophies and be able to defeat them. In the Indian system of debate, when there's a debate, one person will state his position and the other person will state his position, and then they have to debate. But before they start the debate, the person who is each opponent will state the other person's position. So that it's shown that he has a clear understanding of what the other person's position is. Because you may be arguing, that we find that very often, people are arguing against a point that you don't even hold. They've misunderstood your position, or more commonly, they misrepresented straw man arguments. And in this way, the debate is not very meaningful. But one who understands the other person's position and can point out the faults in it, and over and above that establish his own philosophy, that person is worthy of debate. So it's very difficult to there's so many debates in the modern age within our ISKCON over various issues also, but it's often very frustrating because people presume you to, they presume that you hold certain positions, or you just call this, they just call you bad names, or they say this is extremist. I'm talking from experience. They're talking from, they say this is extreme, because they have, they just put some bad name on it. And there's no one to, moderate either. What are the rules of debate in any important debate? There should be a referee also who knows the rules and he can understand the arguments. So, many times debate is apparently won just by pig-headedness. The one who's able to intimidate the other person more, he appears to be the winner. And then they call the public. And then whoever's the best showman or who's got the gift of the gab, they're considered to be the winner. So it's intelligent debate is unusual. People don't know the rules, they don't know philosophy, and just all degenerates into ad hominem, which means name-calling. So one who is actually able to understand all different philosophies. As we see Krishna, we'll find in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna speaking nonsense, philosophical nonsense. Right? You know? Where? Govardhan Lila. Yes. So we shouldn't quote everything Krishna says. Some of it, he deliberately spoke nonsense. Of course, Krishna is the, in Govardhan Lila, he spoke the, Karma Mimamsak philosophy. But of course Krishna is so expert and the acharyas are so expert in understanding him that they can recast his words or understand his words in a manner different to the immediate obvious meaning and find perfect philosophy in there. So, Krishna can understand all philosophies and all different nuances of understanding, because he himself, all these wrong ideas that people have, which to them seem right, that wrong intelligence is given by Krishna. Why is Richard Dawkins so convinced there's no God? Because Krishna gives him the intelligence, the wrong intelligence to think like that. Tasya tasya chalang shadham tameva viditamyaham. That unbreakable, very strong, immovable faith by which people blow themselves up thinking that by doing this, by killing so many kafirs, next second I'll be in heaven and Allah will give me all facilities to enjoy myself ad infinitum. So that faith in the mode, that's faith in the mode of ignorance, but that is also awarded by Krishna because people want it. So, medhavi means intelligence in all various departments. In the medieval times, there was the idea of a superman or fully rounded person who is expert in all departments of knowledge, although with the expansion of knowledge or what passes as knowledge in the modern age, specialists are more sought out. So we see that Vishnu, he's expert. He gives the Vedas, which give all essential knowledge. He's expert in archery as a bowman. That name has just been given, which also requires a certain kind of intelligence. Because it's not like archery in the modern age means you stand in front of a target and you shoot at it. But in Kshatriya usage means you're not just standing. It's not some game that they're playing, but it's you have other people shooting at you at the same time, and you may have to turn around at an angle, and you have to see the influence of the wind, and it's just like in a sport, I guess, like in playing a soccer, the whole situation is liquid. It's changing all the time. So, someone with apart from physical skill, if one is intelligent, he can, and skillful, he can kick the ball in such a way that intelligent tactics, or kick the ball in such a way that to split the defense of the other side. So, similarly, it requires it not just the ability to string a bow and shoot it accurately, but it requires great intelligence and presence of mind to fight in a battle. So there's another kind of intelligence. So all kinds of intelligence Krishna has, and he gives all kinds of intelligence. Therefore, this panoramic intelligence in all spheres, and all the spheres, they're all simultaneously working together. We cannot imagine how intelligent is Krishna. Then another name similar to Vikrami, Vikrama, which again can mean one who has great strides, like Vamana Dev. This name, Vikrama, this is a name, even today in India, it's common name for boys, given to boys, because that's the manly, it's like masculinity, especially for Kshatriyas, that those who stride out, they're not cowed down, they're not overcome by depressing situation. They don't become depressed. They always have courage to rise up and take on the world and rule the world. They have the courage and the ability and the confidence to do so. So Vikrama is a name for Kshatriyas. And of course, Krishna, he is the best of all, or he symbolizes, or he's the exemplar, the ideal for all Kshatriyas who have to rule on his behalf only. Another meaning of Vikrama is that he rides on the king of birds, Garuda. So that's an important quality of Vishnu, that his eternal companion is Garuda. He has a certain, just like Sudarshan is his favorite weapon. Sudarshan is so dear. One reason why Sudarshan Chakra goes so quickly, I mean, it kills the enemy, but he wants to get back to Vishnu as soon as he can. So he goes very quickly and does his work and comes back quickly. So his quickness is good for doing his job and good for getting back as soon as he can. So Garuda is also very swiftly moves. An eagle, you see, the Supreme Lord doesn't ride on a sparrow. He rides on, there aren't any sparrows left, right? Someone killed them all off. So he rides on an eagle, as a majestic bird. The lion, the eagle, they are perennial symbols of nobility and royalty. So Vishnu rides on Garuda. Okay, so it's up to 8:30 the class. Any question? Is it 8:30? So any questions? What happened to all the devotees? That's my question. We have a small turnout today. See, devotees are unconventional. Everyone gets back to work on Monday morning. But devotees take their break, seems. Yeah. You're going to ask a question?
Oh, no, I just said the demigods are here.
The demigods are here. Well, where's the Vyasasans for Brahma and Narad? Yeah, and Prabhupada said they're always here. Yes.
I had a question. It was actually about yesterday's class. You were speaking about initiation.
Yeah.
And you were saying how...
Any questions first about this class? No, I guess. Yeah. All right.
Maharaj, this name of Krishna Keshava, could you explain it very briefly?
No, I'll do it when I come to it.
Okay.
I'll do it thoroughly. You can pick it up on the internet if you're tuned in enough to do that.
All right.
Yeah, it'll come eventually.
All right, thank you.
Maharaj, you mentioned about Lord Ramchandra and Acharya. Now, in India, they used to sing like Raghupati Raghav Rajaram Patita Pavan Sitaram. Now, they changed Raghupati Raghav Rajaram Patita Pavan Sai Ram.
Kick in the face with boots.
No Acharya to rectify the mistake.
You go and preach. You go and tell them they're all rascals. Do you write in Gujarati? We have Bhagavad Darshan now. Gujarati is coming out regularly with kick in the face with boots articles. So we've already had articles about the Brahmit Kumaris and so on. So you can put in something like that. So, okay, what's the class about yesterday about the initiation?
You were saying something that was interesting, that initiation is just a formality for the qualities that are already present, or the behavior that's already present.
For the commitment that's already... It formalizes the commitment that's already made.
Yeah, I was wondering about...
Initiation, yeah.
Yeah, Brahminical initiation. And I understood that it was also an invitation to develop those qualities. You're saying that we have to have the qualities first before we can receive the Brahminical initiation?
Well, Brahminical initiation, Srila Prabhupada, he first gave Harinam, and then after some time, if he saw that people were serious and seriously practicing, then he would offer Brahminical initiation. So yeah, some adhika, eligibility is required for initiation at any level. But initiation is the, that's initiation so you can get trained to develop, but it has to be seen that one is fit for training. That's there in any field. If you want to get admission into an engineering college, you have to have some prior qualification so that you can go on to a higher qualification. So, yeah, initiation means to develop, to enter the process by which one can develop up to the optimum level. But it has to be seen that one has qualification to enter that course. So it's not that one who is completely unqualified is given initiation. Madhukari. Madhukar means a bee, which one means one who makes honey. And Madhukari is the method of collection like a bee, which goes from flower to flower and collects a little from each. So in the same way, a sadhu goes door to door and takes a little from each. So that's how the derivation of the name Madhukari. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
A little bit more to go with Medhavi. The Medhavi name comes just before Madhusudana. And Madhusudana, one of the meanings of this given by the Acharyas, is that he who, he who kills doubts. So that Medhavi is, one understanding of the name Medhavi, it's a synonym of one of the meanings of the name Madhusudana. Another meaning of the name Madhusudana is one who kills or destroys, birth and death, the repetition of birth and death. So, if we become Krishna conscious, then Krishna will take us out of the cycle of birth and death. So that's an important understanding of the name Madhusudana. And it's also that that ties in with the understanding that Madhusudana means one who kills doubts. The first meaning is one who killed the demon Madhu. But it also means he who kills doubts. And when one is free from doubt, then he's fully convinced about Krishna. Then that is the qualification to get free from birth and death. We're in this material world due to illusion. That illusion is thinking ourselves separate from Krishna. Having any interest separate from that of serving Krishna. So by Krishna's grace, if we are willing to, Krishna will remove those doubts. Generally that's done by the process. There's a process for that also, of hearing from devotees. Krishna acts through his devotees. There are many evidences about that. Tatodu sangam utsricha. I always forget the next line. Tatodu sangam utsricha. Sanda evasya chindanti manobhya sangam uktibihi. Tatodu sangam utsricha satsu sajeta buddhiman. Yeah, that's the second line. So buddhiman means intelligent, which also medhavi means intelligent. So one should give up bad association, understanding this world, this repetition of birth and death to be miserable. One should give up bad association. Tatodu sangamutsricha satsu sajeta buddhiman. An intelligent person should associate with devotees. And devotee, by association with devotees, what happens? The devotees, they cut the attachments, the material attachments that our mind has become attached to so many material things. And devotees cut that with their words. So, as is discussed in Speaking Strongly, the duty of devotees is to speak in a manner that the misconceptions of others which bind us in this world, they are cut so that we can understand everything clearly. Understand that I'm only meant for serving Krishna. And then we, by that qualification, when our dormant service attitude, service to Krishna, is revived, then we're eligible to go to Krishna and be free from the cycle of birth and death. So that's another understanding of the name Madhusudana. and how it fits with the name Medhavi, which comes just before it. Medhavi means very intelligent, specifically one who can hold or comprehend many different concepts all at once. In Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Medhavi Chinna Sangshayaha. Medhavi, that means here in this context, an intelligent person, not Krishna, who is also called, or who is the actual or original Medhavi. Medhavi Chinna Sangshaya means one who is very intelligent, he cuts to pieces all doubts. So Krishna understands everything very clearly. The nature of this world is very confusing to the conditioned souls. But to Krishna it's not confusing. He understands everything very clearly. Although there are so many philosophies and so many different ideas in the world, Krishna is never bewildered. He understands everything clearly. Sometimes people who are very intelligent, they become more confused because they know so many things and they just can't bring it all together in their mind, because they're overwhelmed with information. That's why often people, they like a simplistic outlook. They don't like to think very much. That's quite common in the modern age. People don't think. They just... Coca-Cola is advertised and people drink it. That's all. Whether it's good for us or bad for us, or there's any actual gain in drinking it, just they let all the advertisements and everything do the thinking for them. It's easier to be a donkey or a sheep than an intelligent person. And people, they like simplistic so-called philosophy. Just believe in Jesus. Bathe yourself in the blood of Jesus. What does it mean to bathe yourself in the blood of Jesus? Anyone who distributes books in the Western world, especially, from time to time they get accosted by someone who says, "Have you been born again?" Especially in America. Or, "Are you bathed in the blood of Jesus?" What a horrible idea, actually. But what does it mean, actually? Just believe in Jesus. But there's no philosophy behind that. That's why there's a new class of Christians now, or they have a new approach of trying to appear very open-minded and disgusting. Have you noticed that? They're not so much like hit you on the head with a hammer, because they notice that it turns people off. It's much better for us, actually, because then you can discuss with them, and it only takes about 2 or 3 minutes to shut them up, because philosophically they're bankrupt. They have nothing to say. But they like that, just believe, without thinking about anything very deeply. But if you do start to think about things deeply, then you tend to become confused, or you pretend you're not confused. Like the modern scientists, they talk as if they know everything, but among themselves they'll admit they don't know at all. And they have to change their theories all the time. And they subscribe to an axiom that nothing can be fully known. It's for them, it's an axiom. It's not true at all. But they presume that, well, whatever knowledge we have, what they call knowledge, is subject to revision if we think about it some more or make some more discoveries. In other words, it's not really knowledge. What they call knowledge is, by their own admission, not really knowledge at all. But Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, "Jnanam teham savijnanam idam vakshyam asheshatah yajgyatva neha bhuyo yajgyatavyam avashishyate." I shall now describe to you everything, both phenomenal and noumenal, that means material and spiritual, by knowing which nothing more will remain to be known. He also says, Yo mameva samudho janati purushottamam sasarvavid bhajati mam sarva bhavena bharata. One who knows me as the Supreme Personality of Godhead without doubting is the knower of everything. So Krishna, and this is a point that Srila Prabhupada repeatedly made, Krishna offers very clear, specific, and definite knowledge. As Srila Prabhupada is often asked, what do you believe in? And Srila Prabhupada would say, it's not a question of belief, it's a science, it's a fact. Often people ask me, and I'm sure all of you also, well, what do you believe in? And I say, it doesn't matter what I believe in, it doesn't make any difference what I believe in. It's inconsequential what I believe in, because I'm just a tiny little being. But we want to know what the actual truth is, what's the actual fact of the matter. I might believe that 1 + 1 = 3, but it doesn't make it a fact. We have to understand what the fact is. So Krishna knows what the actual facts of reality are, and he gives that intelligence to his devotees so that they can clearly understand everything. Whereas for non-devotees, they cannot understand at all, even though they try. Even though they write big books of philosophy and science, they really don't understand. They don't even understand. They never even ask the right question in their whole life. They're writing big books, becoming PhDs, studying the, you know, passing stool habits of some bats in the Amazon or something like this. They spend their whole life become the world expert on the facial habits of Amazonian bats. If anyone wants to know anything about this, they consult him. He's the expert. But what is the purpose of life? What is the difference between a living body and a dead body? What is the nature of life? Why is there suffering in the world? Why does anything exist? Who is controlling everything? They don't ask this. So they're full of doubts, full of confusion. But one who's a devotee of Krishna is awarded clear intelligence by Krishna so that he can understand everything clearly. And not only that, but he can dispel the doubts of others also. He can give clear knowledge. So this is a gift of Krishna. The clear intelligence by which everything can be understood. Intelligence doesn't mean simply to amass information and then gobbledygook, speak a bunch of gobbledygook, which is your, what you take to, gobbledygook, you know what that means? It's a, well, it means nonsense. Yes, I'm sure you have, in every language they have different terms for nonsensical talking. So, people talk, and in their own minds they're very learned and intelligent. But actually, I mean, that was an absurd example, the facial habits of Amazonian bats, but then nothing else is actually of more consequence unless it's to the point of understanding Krishna. We can, what is this? Now the theory of global warming is being retired, and there's a new theory of the Gulf Stream's going to shift up to Finland, and Finland's going to become tropical. And that's a theory. But you're going to be all, that's only 200 years from now, so not going to help you very much. Srila Prabhupada, this was reported in Brijbasi Spirit years ago. There used to be a magazine called Brijbasi Spirit. Remember that? The best article every time was Confessions of a Prasadam Addict. As in, New Vrindavan was famous for giving the most austere prasadam imaginable. And then there was the prasadam addicts who'd steal the Mahaprasad by hook or by crook, mostly by crook. So in that it was, I remember reading this years ago, I mean, it was in the 1970s, that Prabhupada had predicted that one day New Vrindavan would be tropical. And it's coming from Prabhupada, not from a bogus scientist. So they have so many different theories. But we don't take them very seriously. Well, the scientists say, we don't care what the scientists say. The scientists say, we don't care. We don't care what the scientists say. We care what Krishna says. Scientists say so many things. But they really don't know what they're talking about. It's like, you know, some little ant. In cosmic terms, we're like little ants crawling around on a sugar cube. And our intelligence and our sensory abilities are extremely limited, and the intelligence by which to interpret the very little information about the universe that we can cull through our senses, that's also very limited, and it's also restricted by brahmapramad vipralipsa karana patav, the four defects of making mistakes, being in illusioned, cheating propensity, and imperfect senses. So we take seriously what Krishna says. And he gives intelligence to one who has firm faith in his message. And we see that with Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada didn't have PhD and all these different topics, but he could meet with anyone and just defeat them with the knowledge given by Krishna. So Krishna is an all-around intelligence. There's a word for that, which some fancy word in English, which I can't remember. Polymath. That's it. Yeah, all-around intelligence. Knows everything in all respects and understands it clearly. Is not bewildered by Maya. He is the controller of Maya. He is not controlled by Maya. And he awards the same intelligence to his devotees. And that will be discussed a little bit more in an upcoming name.